We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Harvey, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Audacy Station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Do you think that Bears defensive backs are going to put their phones away this weekend?
No.
Okay. Because they should.
Do they? Does anyone ever put their phone away?
It might be a delete the apps type weekend. Like, not forever. Just maybe delete the apps and just see if your life ends up being better this weekend.
Just see if that kind of like prevents them from having the opportunity to exercise bad judgment.
Correct. That's the way to look at it. That's how I see it going down. And just maybe just give yourself a little bit of room to take a deep breath before you send something out. These things happen. Folks can be emotional. I get it. Just give yourself a chance is all.
So, Eddie Jackson in particular, I feel like, needs a buffer in between his thoughts and his tweets. And we all do. But I don't think he's that active on Twitter, just anecdotally off the top of my head. But it does seem like when he goes to Twitter, it's because he's upset. And I think that's only going to lead you into trouble.
Correct. I think you're 100% right about that.
If you're saying, I'm mad, let's fire up Twitter, it's just not going to go well for you.
That is excellent, sound life advice right there.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
It's Friday, y'all! Face up! Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. Grody is going to give us his final Bears hit. Two words for the week. We will talk with him in 20 minutes. I would like to spend some time getting football-y. This show today is going to toggle between being a really serious like football show, prepping you for Bears and Buccaneers, and also ridiculous. At 1 o'clock, there's a topic that I threw out on Twitter that I've been talking about a little bit on the air, but we're going to have some fun with it at 1 o'clock. So I want you to start thinking about this now. Not call. If you want to text or hit us up on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Cool. Yesterday, while I'm watching the Dodgers and Atlanta game, it's a bullpen start. And going all the way back to the White Sox series, you know what baseball people love to say? All hands on deck. Herbie, they love it. They love it.
But then don't follow through on it.
You are not going to drag me back into that. Not today. So at 1 o'clock today, what we're going to do is I want you to think about a sport, not a general sports cliche. I want you to think about a particular sport. And I want you to say it like I'm saying it. Baseball people love to say blank. Basketball people love to say blank. Start thinking about that. And at 1 o'clock, we're going to do it. But baseball people really love to say all. They love it. Fans, people in the game, broadcasters, they love to say, well, with the series on the line, all hands are on deck. They love it. So we will do that. When we come back, super football-y. We're doing that next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
First and 10 from the 12. Snap back, Foles. Going to go to the end zone to Graham. One-handed catch. Left corner of the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. And we're tied at 13. And his offensive teammates fly off the sideline to congratulate Jimmy Graham. Oh, yeah, baby. Fourth touchdown catch of the year for one of the premier red zone weapons in NFL history.
Last year, the Bears were able to get themselves together and beat Tampa Bay. 5-1 Bears. Why are you shaking your head? It's the truth.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. The 5-1 Bears beat Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was a Sunday night game. People were excited. And Tom Brady did the thing with the four fingers where he thought there was an extra down. There wasn't an extra down. The reason that I'm playing those highlights are not just because the Bears are playing Tampa Bay. It's a little bit different of a Tampa Bay team, even though they brought back almost all of their stars, 21 of 22 or 22 of 22. They're a different team now because as the season progressed, they got better. The Bears ended up getting worse. But I wanted to take some time to point out this game because I think that this was Matt Nagy's best coached game offensively. If you go back and look at it, and I don't know how many of you have the game on DVR, or if you go look at film of it, the Bears had a lot of chances to really, honestly, they could have blown the Buccaneers out of this game. There were some really like dumb mistakes. Some was just bad luck. But they had an incredible first half against Todd Bowles, who I think is one of the best defensive play callers in the game, if not the best. I think that he and Belichick are like right there as far as great defensive callers. Wink Martindale in Baltimore is another one who I think is really, really good. Here's the thing about Bowles. He will mess around and tinker. Now, he has the reputation of, well, we'll blitz the hell out of a team. We'll come after you. We will turn the pressure up. We'll send pieces. And those pieces will allow us to speed you up out of the things that you want to do offensively, and then we're going to turn you over or we're going to get your quarterback on the ground. I'll get back to the game versus the Bears last year in a second. But I want to contrast what I just said about Bowles with what Tampa Bay did in the Super Bowl, which was not that. They decided, and you've now seen other defenses try to copy it as best they can against Patrick Mahomes, that they would play a little drop seven, that they would trust their front four to get after Mahomes, and then Patrick Mahomes, this stat to me is one of the craziest stats in football. Patrick Mahomes, in the game, amassed 500 yards scrambling. Like, not from scrimmage, running away from Tampa Bay, ended up being 500 yards of him running for his life in the Super Bowl. Bowles can mix it up. That's what makes what the Bears did last year against him really, really impressive. A couple people have done some great stuff on this. Robert Schmitz of Windy City Gridiron did a great breakdown of this. What Tampa Bay did, they were running what's called the Mint package. Kirby Smart is kind of the father of this. The Mint package was meant to slow down spread offenses. The idea is you take three down linemen and you rush with three. And then, like, I want you to, if you're not driving, I want you to close your eyes so you can visualize this. Three down linemen with a jack linebacker, like an athletic linebacker that you put on the line of scrimmage, is probably in a two-point stance instead of a three or a four. And that linebacker can cover out of the backfield. if you've got the right personnel, like if you've got a zero technique, the guy that's nose up against the center, if you've got an ass-kicking zero technique, you can really make this work. Tampa Bay technically has two guys that I would consider ass-kicking zero techniques. I think Sue, even though he's more of a three, and Vita Vea is perfect for this. Because you need to collapse the pocket and you need to be able to still pressure quarterbacks with three. The other part of the Mint package that Kirby Smart is credited with creating is you take what's called, like, you take your corner, your star corner, and you put him on the inside. So he is, instead of on the outside playing man coverage, you have him on the inside, and then you can, depending on the look, drop him into a zone. It's a different look, and then you play man on the outside. The reason that this was really awesome for Matt Nagy is they saw it. They saw them switching things up. The other thing about the Mint package, so if we're doing the visualization of it, okay? Three down linemen, a Jack linebacker who is playing up instead of down, your star corner that's in the slot, and then a corner on the outside who's playing man with the idea that your star corner is going to drop back into a cover four, okay? But it also allows you to flip formations to change things up where you can show a cover two or cover three look out of this. The Bears recognize what was happening in the game, and this is why I thought Matt Nagy had an incredible game. And Nick Foles did too. I want to give Nick Foles a lot of credit for his recognition at the line of scrimmage of things that were going on. They were able to, with some really good route combinations, after being like, well, wait, the guy in the slot is actually drifting back into his zone. The guy on the outside is playing man. How can we take advantage of that? So they ran routes at this where you're taking your slot guy and you're having him run an out, and then you're having your guy on the outside run like he's going towards the middle of the field and then cut it back towards the sidelines. Some really good stuff. If you go back and look at it, the Bears had, they literally could have scored four touchdowns in the first half of that game. Now, they didn't because they're not very good. But the coaching was very good. The execution by Foles in spots when they saw some of these looks was extraordinary. I think one of the things that scares me about this particular game is you have two really smart, aggressive, and one petty person mad about last year's game. Bowles is smart and aggressive, and they lost that game. He got outcoached by Matt Nagy in that game. He's mad about that. Tom Brady was embarrassed on national television. He's mad about that. And he was petty this week, congratulating Aaron Rodgers on his ownership stake in the Chicago Bears. I am concerned at what they're going to throw at Justin Fields. One other thing, since we got super football-y there, I texted Big Ant last night. I'm watching the Thursday night game. The Browns didn't score a lot. They were playing with Case Keenum instead of Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield has struggled. I would say even with last year, them getting to the playoffs, he hasn't been as good as I think the Browns would have liked. I really, really want the Stefanski offense for Justin Fields. It doesn't have to be complicated. I think that football coaches often make things more complicated than they have to be. There's a lot of term. I just ran through like a ton of terminology and jargon, and I apologize for those of you that were like, wait, what the hell are you talking about? What is mint package and what's cover four and quarters? Cover four, quarters of the field, responsibility in the backfield. Cover three, thirds. Cover two, half. Everyone here that's been a Bears fan for a long time should be pretty familiar with cover two and what it looks like. But when I'm looking at what the Browns are doing, it's pretty simple. Run, boot, action. Run, play action, shot play. It doesn't have to be as complicated as I think sometimes Matt Nagy makes it. But I want to give him credit. They did a good job of adjusting inside of the game. And for me, like, this isn't guys running wide open versus man coverage for Mitch against Detroit or 3 years ago against Tampa before Todd Bowles is there, him guys just wide open, you know, making easy looks. This was punch counterpunch that was going on between Todd Bowles and Matt Nagy, and Matt Nagy won. I'm terrified of what Sunday might look like because he won that game. And the way that he won that game and the embarrassment that Tom Brady had inside of that game. But if you're someone that wants to hold on to a glimmer of hope because Justin Fields is talented, you've seen Khalil Herbert take a step and be productive in the run game, hold on to the fact that last year, in a game that a lot of people thought the Bears, even with a good record, might not play well, and they didn't for a big portion of it, the coach actually did something great. And maybe he can do it again. Mark Grody will join me next with his final Bears hit, two words, for this week. Who's in, who's out? That's important. I'll talk with him next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Sideline reporter for WBBM News Radio 780.
Of course, if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Bears hit.
We need Mark Grody.
With Mark Grody.
Excuse me. Couldn't get to the cough button there in time.
Didn't notice.
Illinois State's finest alum, Mark Grody, joins Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
We like to talk with Grody on Fridays as the Bears get ready for a big game. The Bears are 500. They'd like to get a win here because there's been a lot of stuff going on around this team this week. Adam Hogue, I thought, wrote a really good piece for NBC Sports Chicago talking about the importance of a win because of the way that the last couple of weeks have gone around the Bears. Grotes joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hey, Grotes.
What's going on, Lawrence? And I have no idea what it means or if it could potentially be correlated with getting back on the winning track. But the Bears, it's been a strange week here at Halas Hall because the Bears have changed some of the viewing that the media is allowed to do this week, as in they've changed some of the times to a little bit later, and they have also reduced the amount of time that they are allowing the media to watch. And I don't know if it's a just this week thing, if they're really concocting something special out there, or if this is the way it is going forward. Maybe they saw something they didn't like in terms of what was reported. But just to add to all of the strangeness of this week, as you alluded to, there is that. And I don't think we really talked about that much this week.
Yeah, that okay. So in trying to figure out what's going on there, they've made it more difficult. Okay, that's
yeah, right. That's, who knows? Maybe they're working on a fake or something. I don't know. But it's just I just thought it was notable that and maybe it connotes, you know, getting serious or they just don't want us to watch. I'm not really sure how to read into it one way or another. But just so people know, we are not getting the same glimpse this week that we have in past weeks.
Grotes, what's the latest on the injury report and availability for Sunday?
Well, we're going to find out here very shortly. The injury report will come out, and then Matt Nagy will speak. Obviously, the two key guys, considering who you're going up against, would be Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn. And we are standing by trying to find out if Quinn will be able to play. I'm just going to guess, just based on Khalil Mack's track record in weeks like this where he hasn't practiced, that he'll probably practice a little bit today and then will probably play in the game on Sunday.
Yeah, it seems like maintenance with him week to week, and I'm okay with that because you have to take care of veteran players like that.
Right, right. And my guess is, honestly, we may not find out about, let's say, Akeem Hicks and Robert Quinn until tomorrow. That's also a pattern. A lot of times when they go on the road, we will get, those of us on the beat, we'll get a text from the Bears letting us know who is and who is not traveling with the team. So unless Matt Nagy has a succinct answer for us today, that information will, just my guess based on the way this year has gone, that we'll find out tomorrow about that. But I think some of the guys that are out for the Buccaneers is pretty interesting with Antonio Brown out and Lavonte David and Richard Sherman. And, of course, Gronk is out again for those guys. So I think that this for them, I think that can – possibly tell you how they are viewing the Bears and saying, you know what, we're going to go ahead. We're pretty deep at those positions. We're going to go ahead and let these guys rest this week against the Bears. That's the way it feels to me anyway.
Yeah, I'm more concerned on, you know, if Vita Vea is out there, that to me is the most important thing. If Vita Vea and Jason Pierre-Paul are going to be available for the Buccaneers, then I have concerns about that. The offensive guys, they're very deep offensively. They just seem to kind of pull guys in and out, and Tom Brady is able to do what he needs to do to get wins and win a Super Bowl down there. I'd love to know, Groats, what did Bill Lazor, was there any conversation this week about going up against Todd Bowles?
In terms of the head-to-head matchup with Todd Bowles, they didn't make a big deal about that, but they know, I mean, Bill Lazor knows he's got a hell of a task ahead of him, in order to come up with, because we know that the Bears have lived by the run game, averaging 129 rushing yards per game, seventh in the league. But then you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they have the league's best defense in terms of stopping the rush. Teams average 54, yards per game against that defense. So you're already taking away what we're all breathlessly calling the Bears' identity. So if the Bears are going to, honestly, Lawrence, if the Bears are going to win this game, they're probably going to need Justin Fields to do it, and I don't know if that's realistic. They're going to need him to take some big-time chances, take shots down the field, go into that you-have-nothing-to-lose mode because you are a legitimate, nearly two-touchdown underdog, and I don't think anybody looks at that and says, wow, that's great. No, that really feels about right. So I am interested to see what Bill Lazor does, if he does open it up, or if they just play conservative and try to stay close and hope the defense and special teams can win the game, because you are not going to win this game if you're going to go to what, and everybody has loved it, seeing the Bears run the football. You're not going to win by running the football this week.
From time to time, I'm going to ask you this question, and it's about growth and development with Justin Fields. I know that Matt Nagy this week talked a little bit about it, but how are they? Because here's the weird thing. In going back and watching Sunday's game, I thought there were a lot of good moments for Justin Fields. So how do they go about figuring out if he is moving in the right direction and what that means for the offense overall? And can those two things be separate?
Yeah, I thought this was the authority with which he threw the football against Green Bay was the best that I've seen, especially on a couple of those drives, the first drive of the game, and then later on in the second half as well. There were times where you could just see it in Fields. He knew where he wanted to go with the football, and he was doing it with confidence, and his decision making was spot on. In terms of the progress that he has made, like actual progress, it is, and both I talked to John DeFilippo, did a one-on-one with him for the pregame show, and Matt Nagy has said it as well. Both of them said it separately, that he has gotten better, even good, at looking to his third and fourth progressions and being more patient in the pocket, trusting his offensive line, which there was no reason for Justin Fields to trust his offensive line after that Cleveland game. And that's when they simplified things for the offense after he was sacked 9 times. They made life easier in terms of the blocking schemes and made life a little bit easier for everybody. But yeah, to pinpoint what Fields has done better, it is the third and fourth progressions. The one area that I'm still waiting for, and we've seen some of it, but it is Justin Fields' ability to use his athleticism, and that has not been a perfect concert yet for him. You know, we've seen some nice runs. We've seen him get out of the pocket at times, but he still looks a little clunky in the pocket when he's trying to get away from pressure, when he does decide the run in terms of protecting himself or not. That is a work in progress, that part of his game, despite the 4.4 speed and the strength and all his physical tools, that part of the game is not totally and completely there for him yet.
Groats, as always, I appreciate the update. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the day at Halas.
Thanks, Lawrence. I'll talk to you later, man.
That is Mark Grody. You can hear him on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. For the game broadcast, he covers the Bears for us here at The Score. I want to talk a little bit about that, athleticism for a quarterback in the pocket, since we are getting super football-y today. But we're also going to have some fun today, too. You'll enjoy the next segment because we're going to get an opportunity to rag on each other as fans of whatever particular sport you're a fan of. That's next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.